Welcome to Hot Springs Village Inside Out, a weekly podcast where Hot Springs Village, Arkansas is the star. Join me, Randy Cantrell, and my co-host Dennis Simpson as we discuss the history, facts, people, places, events, lots more surrounding Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. Visit the website at hotspringsvillageinsideout.com. Joining us today is Alana Owen, fourth-generation restaurateur and owner of Melinda's Cafe and Coffee. We welcome Alana to the show.
Hi, Dennis Simpson and Randy Cantrell here for another episode of Hot Springs Village Inside Out, www.hsvinsideout.com. Randy, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm really well.
And excited. It is a pleasure. I'm sorry, you're what?
I'm excited to have her. We've been trying to make this happen, and just through various snafus, nobody's fault. But
I'm excited too, because this lady makes great food, and me and food go back. We are like this. I mean, we go way back. So everybody, welcome to Alana Owen today. It's a pleasure to have you. And we're going to start from zero and say, how did you get to the village and what do you do and how do you make beautiful, great tasting food?
Well, let's see. My husband and I moved to Hot Springs Village about 5 years ago. Daniel, my husband, had an opportunity with one of his uncle's companies, and it was the timing. My mother was moving to Rogers, Arkansas to retire at their lake house up there, and our oldest daughter was beginning attendance at the University of Arkansas, mm-hmm. which just graduated. And I had family in Hot Springs, and they actually grew up in Hot Springs Village. They went to Fountain Lake. But they've moved and now live in Hot Springs, but it seemed everything was just kind of revolving around Hot Springs. So, we decided to go ahead and make the move. Really had no intentions of, owning a restaurant. I grew up in it. I purposely went to school and got a business degree because I don't want to do restaurants my whole life. Right. Because it's a lot of work. But then an opportunity came along, and my original business partner was my husband's cousin, Mark Owen, and he asked me if I wanted to go into a partnership with him and buy Melinda's Cafe. Mm-hmm. And I said, we'll take a look at it. And we did. And I said, it's only, daytime. That sounds good to me. I can handle that. No bar and not, late nights and things of that nature. So I said, yeah, let's give it a go. Seems pretty easy, a coffee shop basically. But she had a boutique in there originally and was mainly coffee and a few other items. But we went in and got rid of the boutique, expanded the kitchen, made more dining space, built a patio. There you are. We've had it 4 years now. So April made 4 years that we've owned Melinda's, and it's been a ride.
Well, let me give a little preface here, Randy. There's some things you don't know, and there's some things a lot of our guests don't know, but the Owens name inside the village and outside the village is kind of, and I mean this in sincerity, it's kind of royalty. And I'll tell you why, because Donnie has been here since Hector was a pup. If you're familiar with All American Classics, he's somebody we have to have on the show too, because basically the bottom line is he was a cabinet maker. Donnie was a cabinet maker who in his slow period started portrait framing some stuff. And now he sells that stuff literally in the United States. And now your husband is his nephew.
Nephew. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the Owens boys, which basically own Washita Farms and the CBT uh-huh. tasting room, are blowing and going too, as I understand, in a whole lot of other areas. It's Owens peoples are not known for sitting around much. They don't sit. No, their sitters aren't very big. They have small sitters, not big sitters, if you know what I mean. They don't sit too much. So I'm assuming making a boutique coffee shop into a real restaurant mm-hmm. was a lot of work and a lot of reward too, I'm guessing.
Yes. Don't want to call myself a food snob, but I guess I kind of am. I refuse to serve instant mashed potatoes I really pride myself on making everything from scratch as much as possible. Real butter, real cream, things of
real
that
good.
Nature. So yeah,
real good.
You got to waste the calories anyways, it needs to taste good, right? But yeah, no, we, I slowly started, making, you know, when we bought the place, she had a whole bunch of bagels. I mean, tons of bagels. And these bagels are from a bakery in New York. So they were, you know, really good bagels.
Hang on. And you hate waste, as I understand.
Yes. I'm sitting there with all these bagels and I said, what are we going to do with them? I don't want to, you're going to get freezer burn. They're in the freezer. So I said, well, I want to, you know, expand the menu and do sandwiches, paninis. And so I said, well, let's just put these, you know, sandwich stuff on the bagels and see. So the very first, first couple of months, we were just doing bagel paninis and they were really good. I mean, these bagels are high quality. So we went through the bagels and, but now we make homemade bread every morning now. So but that's how we went through those bagels. But yeah, we've just expanded. I mean, we do a soup of the day every single day and it's made from scratch. We have the homemade bread every single morning. We've developed what's called a schmaltz bread. So yeah, it's a little different, but basically it's made with chicken broth in there. So it's not vegetarian or vegan, but there's a lot, it was a lot of time to perfect that recipe. It was
really,
it was rough, but we finally figured it out. So and well,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was going to say, I think one of your most important stories that I want to hear from you is it's interesting how you got here, but tell us your culinary background. I mean, you've literally been doing this since you were a little girl, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Tiny thing. I was learning how to roll silverware and take chips and salsa to the tables, you know, when I was a kid. My, I'm fourth generation restaurateur. My, great grandparents moved from Mexico, Veracruz area, to Texas back in 1911 and, started opening restaurants.
And what would be the name of that restaurant? I think it sounds familiar to Randy.
Well, La Fiesta is going to be the big powerhouse that's still around. It's been around since the 60s and it's still there and still doing great. Our cousins have another one that's also been around since the 70s and is still doing well, and it's Casa de Castillo. But before that, you know, there was the Italian Village, which, believe it or not, was the first pizza place in Waco.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty neat story. My great-grandfather had hired a gentleman. He was actually from Europe, Italy, and he was a transfer from the war, and he started working. And the Italian Village was basically a hodgepodge. They served American food, they served Mexican food, and when this guy came and taught them how to make pizza and some other Italian dishes, they added that to the menu. So literally Italian, Mexican, and American fare at that restaurant. And it was around for a long time and did really well. But yeah, there's two remaining ones, but I grew up there and it was a lot of fun. You know, people are, oh yeah, why would you want to run a restaurant? You know, it's a lot of work. Like it really is. I was like, I think at this point it's in my genes. You gotta be, you know, in my genetic makeup, something wrong. Because I enjoy it.
Did you iterate from your original idea with Melinda's to what it is now, or is the current iteration kind of what you envisioned out of the gate?
Yeah, no, and we've just kind of been growing and building on that same vision. The only thing that I haven't quite, you know, gotten fulfilled yet, that's been my dream is putting our soups on grocery store shelves. So that's one of the things, you know, this next month, I'm going to have some time to work on. We've ordered we're testing phase right now. So we're trying to figure out the right packaging and, you know, the ingredients on the back and all those things that you have to get done. But everything else, yeah, is pretty much I wanted a cafe with homemade scratch food, and we've perfected the recipes. Yeah, the funny thing is I always cooked. I had three younger brothers. Mom was always running, you know, the restaurants. So I learned to cook at a young age too at home, but I probably, you know, beef stew or something like that. But when we took over Melinda's, I always tell people, I said, I feel like God had his hand on my ladle because I had no idea. I don't know. These soup recipes just kind of, I, you know, played around with them and perfected them. And I, you know, wrote the recipes down so other people could make them and it didn't just have to be me. But they're incredible soups. I put my chicken tortilla soup up against anybody. So,
But, well, that yeah. segues in. So for people that have never been there, for folks that may never have even visited the village yet, and when you do, and they come to your restaurant, so what are some of the notable signature things that you've become known for in the last 4 years?
You know, the Country Club Panini is going to be probably our number one selling sandwich. We have a full Boar's Head deli there, and we are one of the only ones in the area that has that. So we get a delivery every week, and, you know, your fresh meats and cheeses are sliced to order. And that's going to be probably the most popular. Chicken salad is homemade. That's probably number two. You won't find chicken salad like that anywhere else. It's delicious. Again, the homemade bread, but the soups. I mean, we do a different one 6 days a week, and they really are incredible. And our dessert, we have one of those old school dessert cases, the glass, the rotating, you know, and so there's different desserts in there every day that we make. There's a few that are the most popular, and they'll come after me with pitchforks if they're not in there. But for the most part, we try to change it up and do new things. We added a new pie to the rotation the other day, and it was a sour cream peach pecan pie. And it was pretty incredible.
And so, I should have eaten before we recorded.
Yeah, I think we need samples, Randy. We need samples. Do we?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me give you my shipping address. Be honest, Randy, there's a part of this I haven't told you and that I need to share. Okay. On one hand, we have people who it's serendipity, you know, and Alana, as gracious and as humble and modest as she is, she leaves out a detail or two. So those, some of you that may know, I have a radio show or a TV show. I call it it's a TV podcast called Village Venues. And during the pandemic, we were trying to connect and trying to set up a show when the recording times just wouldn't work out and never really weren't lined out. But one night I came home, Randy, and there were two bags of groceries on my front steps in manila bags. And I lifted up and there was this incredible soup, and there was a Country Club panini, and there was, and Diane was like, who leaves food on a front porch?
Me.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
On your table, right?
Yeah.
Some of the best food, literally some of the best food we'd ever tasted, ate on it for literally a week. We were like, oh my God, there's a sampler of everything. And it's fantastic. So I couldn't wait. I could not wait to get back connected with you. Now, Alana, there's something else besides bringing me food, which I really appreciate, but I have a cup, and I hope this will show up okay, that I got my wife that I think you may need. Okay. Being married to an Owen and all. Okay. Can you see that? Says Real Housewives of Hot Springs Village. See,
where did you get that?
I got that at the hardware store. They had these at the Hallmark hardware store. Hallmark True Value Hardware. Yeah, they got a great can. They got a great card section. Randy, you need to come see it.
Well, I had those. We sold out already. But
are you serious?
Ours was the wine ones. So, yeah, but they were the insulated mugs. Same thing. I need to order some more. But, yeah, we had those probably. We got it about 6 months ago. It was around Christmas, and then we sold out pretty quick.
Really? They were hysterical. Yep. I bought it for my wife, and she's extremely no-nonsense. And, you know, she's a CPA. And
yeah.
You know, so it was even funnier that way. Anyway, proceed about, and by the way, one of the things, and this is just, you'll learn this about me and Randy, we just have questions of consciousness, as it were. But, you know, making a great soup is one thing, and it's not an exaggeration. That's one thing. Preserving it, putting it in a can, putting it on the shelf, and praying that it tastes that same way 90 days from now.
Exactly. So I struggled with that because, you know, first of all our soups are gluten-free. I'm adamant about that because we do have a lot of gluten allergies. So even though they're creamy, you know, cream of potato soup, whatever, usually a lot of those are made with flour, but we use cornstarch. But we're going to go the route of vacuum sealed freezer section and probably boil in a bag is what we're looking at, because that is the only way we feel is not going to change the taste. And we don't want it to mess with the consistency or add preservatives. So, and we feel that that's the best bet.
Well, you know, in today's realty, in today's landscape, retail, I had a very expensive experiment in retail, and I have no interest in retail at all. Now, the Owens boys with the CBD tasting room and with the Washita Farms, I mean, they're doing a lot of retail with the CBD stuff, right? So they are you kind of riding that piggyback, or how are you doing that?
I might do something with them. You know, they have a lot of sales people, basically a call center, if you will, that does a lot of the legwork for them. But, you know, grocery stores are going to be a little different. I have a friend of mine, he got all his yogurts. His family farm did Lucky Layla. And he got in all the major grocery store chains. But basically, you have to go and give samples out and see how people like it, and do a lot of legwork in person, basically, before you can get that opportunity. I think Sam's Club is probably a little bit easier. They'll give you a pallet, you know, or some space. And then if it sells, great, then you could get more of it.
Now, other than spend your Saturday, right?
Other than takeout, do you do any of it on a smaller scale out of the restaurant now?
We have a lot of takeout. We probably, you know, have a dozen to go, you know, takeout orders a day, but we've gotten, you know, every day there's something, whether it's a dozen cupcakes or a carrot cake or a charcuterie board. There's something every single day. I've got somebody that bought 25 pounds of chicken salad for tomorrow. So we've been blessed with a lot of those orders. And then catering has, you know, exploded. And it's been a huge blessing for us. You know, catering for any restaurant is huge and imperative, in my opinion. And so we've worked really hard to get into that catering market out here, and we're doing well with it.
Did the pandemic provide some opportunities that you didn't see in that regard?
The pandemic. It was, you know, we are doing much better than we were pre-COVID. If you look at our numbers, we've almost doubled our revenue numbers. But catering, we were doing probably about one a week before, and I'm averaging about the same right now. But we have a lot of, you know, cake orders and large orders in addition to those. So it's been, I don't know what happened. Everybody I've talked to, business is better for them after COVID. So it's wonderful. It's great. I'm surprised. But you know, restaurants did, I feel, you know, got the bad end of the deal across the board. They really did. So it's nice to see the community and everybody, you know, across the country, you know, coming together and supporting restaurants. So it's great.
I'm glad to hear it. No, as a business guy, my head goes a bunch of different places, but mostly to sympathy. And this this industry got, I mean, here in Dallas Fort Worth, and I mean, it decimated is not too Hammered. Strong of a word for it. Yeah. So to come out the other end, it's great. Yeah. Congrats.
I want to bring something up, Randy, and we can go wherever we want to go here. I'm tired of acting like we don't have a faith. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And you personally believe God has blessed, I believe God's blessed you too, to say that God had his hand on your ladle. What a great analogy. What a great story. You know, we live in a society, unfortunately, where you can't express what you really feel about how you think you got here. And Randy and I were talking about this the other day, that, you know, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe this just appeared than it does to think there's a creator that put it all together. This is not a happen chance thing. Oh, yeah. Where do you see how that really came about? I mean, during the pandemic, we're post-pandemic. We can have this discussion now. Right. In the middle of the pandemic, you were like, please, dear Lord, how are we going to do this, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what to do. I mean, tell you the truth, we had two restaurants and we had to close one. So, you know, we had the St. Isabella, which was the restaurant on the Isabella Golf Course. And we had that for over 2 years. And then we closed it in June, last June, right after we were still, you know, well in the middle of the pandemic. It wasn't just because of COVID, but that had a lot to do with it. But, you know, there was other ABC, you know, restrictions that came along and high rent and so on and so on. But yeah, we decided to close that. It relieved a little bit of stress, you know, worrying about one restaurant instead of two. It was sad that we put everything we had into it and had to close the doors, but we're not alone in that. There's a lot of people across the country that had to do the same thing in the world. But it was just, we didn't know what to do, but I wasn't entirely scared or hopeless. I did have faith. I really, really did. God has proven to Daniel and I so many times, it's like, just hello, just, trust me. And, you don't have to worry about anything. And it's always worked out. We've learned, just to have faith and keep going. And, he has us here doing things for a reason.
Yeah. What would you say the parallels and the differences are running a restaurant in the village in a gated community versus one on the outside, a public one? Tell me the struggles. Tell me the issues.
Yeah, it was very different. I mean, night and day. I felt the customer base was different. I mean, I know all my regulars at Melinda's, have for years. But a little bit different clientele. We were on the opposite side, so we were on the east end of the village. But a restaurant on a golf course was something, it's unique. I mean, you've got to figure out, do you just cater to the golfers, or do you try to maximize and, cater to everyone else that's not a golfer too? And I felt that was imperative. And so we really focused on that. And we wouldn't have survived, if we just did the golfers. It had to be both. And our numbers were great. I mean, we increased 100% month, and then the next month and the next month, and we just kept increasing revenue. And the second year, the first year was awful, but it just being on a golf course, you're kind of hidden. And so people need to know where they're going if they're coming to eat there. And so it was that was probably the biggest difference. But that's all I can think of, really. But we were breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. So Melinda's is just breakfast and lunch. So the POA did ask us to be open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we had agreed when we took over the lease. And that's rough.
The restaurant scene around there, Alana, is diverse. Mm-hmm. And while there's a spirit of probably some cooperation, I get that there's certainly competition. It seems to me, in looking from my distance, which admittedly is a safe distance, I guess, the uniqueness of your place speak to that, and just the overall, the all ecosystem of the restaurants and the various different genres of food and experiences.
Right. So when we took over Melinda's and we wanted to expand the menu, I mean, we did our market research and we really wanted to try and do something different that somebody else, wasn't already doing. There wasn't, a huge, sandwich soup, kind of little cafe. So we decided to go that route. We had room for a small deli in there. But I'm very adamant about, I think, a rising tide, floats all ships. And so and especially these days, after the pandemic and everything, I think it's imperative that all the restaurants, and all businesses, I guess in general, but restaurants especially, that we need to help each other. Tomorrow morning, I'm delivering breakfast tacos for the staff of Charlie's Pizza Pub, just for free. Just, I offered to do it because I love going there and supporting them, and their staff's really always great. And so I messaged the owners yesterday and said, hey, I want to bring breakfast tacos to everybody. Employment right now is struggling for a lot of restaurant owners. So I just kind of want to show my support. Daniel and I try to go at least once a week to a different restaurant in the village. And we do what's called a local restaurant shout out on our Melinda's Facebook page. So we did, Pitt's Barbecue. I've done Krakus, we've done Clampett's, Village Hibachi, but we do a little review, if you will, but we do it on our, we've got about 2,600 followers on Melinda's page. So I've worked really hard to get those. So we're trying to do our part and help, even though, yes, we all want some of this lunch business and we all want some of this breakfast business. I still think it's imperative if we, help each other out, right? Especially right now. So,
well, the great news is you're in a business that doesn't have to be transactional, mm-hmm. Because we all continue to have to eat. So,
right.
And we don't necessarily want the same thing every time that we go.
Yeah.
I mean, given that you're a fourth generation, talk to me, and I told you a little bit about my background, you know, primarily running retail, luxury retail companies. And so I completely understand customer service and I'm fanatical about it. I know that you are. I know that you are as well. So that thing, that experience, and yes, food clearly dominates the landscape, but you and I both know that bad service and other things can absolutely.
Yeah. It's a trifecta. It really, I mean, you have to have the ambiance, you have to have the service, and you have to have the quality of food. You know, yes, we've perfected our food and our recipes, I feel, but we're always adding new things. But my husband and I try to go out there and talk to our guests and meet them and introduce ourselves and get to know them. And I think that's what's helped, you know, grow our business, is developing those, you know, relationships with these great people in this community. Ambiance is imperative. You know, Melinda's for the first time was nominated for the Reader's Choice for dining atmosphere, and we've never, it's been a work in progress for the last 4 years. I'll tell you that. We just got new flooring put in, you know, not too long ago, and we've slowly been updating and really making the place look like I've always envisioned it to look. So, you know, we finally have that ambiance, which I feel like we were lacking the first couple of years. You know, that place used to be a floor store. So the flooring was just all a hodgepodge of different things and tiles and just tons of stuff. We finally put wood flooring in recently, and I think it made a world of difference. But yeah, you can't just have one of those things. I think all three of them is important.
That's awesome. All right. We're going to give you an opportunity to shamelessly plug. And we kind of sort of have, but I want to just, take the gloves off. And then I'm going to give Dennis the very last word. But tell folks how to find you online, how they can find out more about you and what all you're up to.
So, yeah, we have a website, and it's melindashsb.com. And everything's on there. We have our menus on there, awards we've gotten, all kinds of stuff. We've actually recently added something, you know, during the pandemic, you really had to kind of come up with creative things to get more money coming in. You know, we did add a drive-through. It's not a professional commercial drive-through, but there's a menu board and a speaker and, you know, a pull-up window. So that was one thing we did. But then we recently made it available to where people in the community can rent out Melinda's after hours. You know, we close at 2 p.m. every day. And so there's a lot of opportunity for groups of, you know, a bridal shower, you know, whatever. And we have, you know, basically we charge them a rental fee, or they just hire us to do the food. So that's a new service that we've added, but details of that are going to be on our website. And we do have a Facebook page, which I highly encourage everybody to follow, because that's where you're going to see my daily, you know, creations. You know, today I did a blueberry custard pie. You know, I love to take food pictures. So that's mainly all you'll see on my Facebook page, but they look good, and it looks good, just as good as it tastes. I always recommend people follow that. Any specials that we do, we post on the Facebook page as well. We have started another thing that we came up with during the pandemic, was Friday night dinners. So every Friday night, I usually put out a calendar. It's about 3 months, and it's, you know, whatever scratch dinner, you know, I didn't do it this week, but starting back next week, is our meatloaf. And meatloaf is everybody's favorite. Hands down, I will sell 50 plates of meatloaf when I do meatloaf, and everything else is probably about 20 or 25. Still worth doing, but they love the meatloaf. But that is awesome. So that's one of the things that we've added that's neat, and we usually have that calendar on our website as well. But
you're open on that Friday night. So how does this work?
So basically we still close at 2, but we're there just prepping dinner. Again, you know, everything's made from scratch. So from 2 o'clock to, we serve between 4 and 6. So between 2 and 4, we're making all the food. A lot of times we have to start sooner than that. But if people want to dine in, they can. But most people have just taken advantage of picking it up in the drive-thru window between 4 and 6. And it's been well received. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of meatloaf. I'm going to remember that. Next time I'm there on a Friday night, I'm going to remember that.
You should try it. I've perfected that one.
50 orders of meatloaf is a lot of meatloaf, in my opinion. That's a lot of meat.
It really is. Yeah, it is a lot.
Well, I wanted to say, number one, thanks for coming on. This is something we've literally tried for 16 months to make happen. So thank you so much. And I want to just explain to those that are more in the village and around the village, what you may not understand, we call that the bottom of the hill. So when you come out of the village on the far west end and you start going south, like you're going into Hot Walmart on the left, there's a kind of a strip shop on the right, and Melinda's is at the very end of that. It's right adjacent to the, is that the storage unit?
Yes.
And it's right before you get to the bowling alley.
Yes.
The bottom line is it's a great little location. Been there for years. I find it interesting that it's still Melinda's. It's not Alana's, but that's.
I didn't need my name on the building. And a lot of people, you know, knew Melinda's. She opened in 2012. So she had already established that name, and I didn't see any point in changing it.
Well, it's been a delight to have you today. Once again, that's on the south side, the south part, now coming down the hill. What's your address on Highway 7?
3901
Highway 7, not far from the Walmart, not far from the Wagon Wheel, just very close to that area. So if you're bowling and you want to stop by and get some meatloaf, this is the place.
Right.
All right. Great. For Hot Springs Village Inside Out, Randy Cantrell, Dennis Simpson. Been a pleasure, Alana. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Hot Springs Village Inside Out, a podcast where Hot Springs Village, Arkansas is the star. Please subscribe to the podcast. You can do that by visiting our website, hsvinsideout.com, and tell a friend.